on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and in the studio we do have some guests with me this evening. Yes, round of applause for Robbie. Yay. Robbie's got friends, yay. So who have we got? Actually, I'm just going to pull this microphone around. We have the power that is the rugby league writing power of this sport, Aaron Bauer.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, everyone.
Where were you last weekend, mate? Why did you leave me on my own?
Oh, busy, Rob.
Bro, what were you doing?
I can't disclose
plucking
that.
Your eyebrows.
Secret meeting. No.
Secret meetings.
Secret meetings about the
and
Super
to tell
League
you what,
structure.
This is the man in the know as well, people. This is the man in the know. So I'm very curious about this secret meeting. And next to him, we have the CEO of Halifax, Mark Moore.
Evening.
He's backing you. The whole point of being in a radio show, mate, is you lean into the
into the
microphone.
Easy on me.
Big
easy.
Game coming up for Halifax this weekend at home, Bradford Bulls. We're going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. We're actually also waiting for Halifax head coach Richard Marshall, someone that I played alongside, played against. Over my career as a young fella, because Richard is about 25 years older than me, if you're listening as you're coming in, Richard. And we did play in a Legends game at Halifax a couple of years ago. And he got the ball and he was just trundling up. He was supposed to be playing in the spirit of the game. It was for Danny Jones. It was a fundraiser for Danny Jones.
Good course.
And he was trundling the ball up, so I jumped on him and poked him in the eyes. I think, wow. And he chased me around the field and he was trying to do everything nasty to me.
Why not?
But he couldn't catch me when we were playing professional, so I'm going to let him catch me as an old man because I'm still 25 years younger than him. Anyway, first wheel problem. So Rich is going to be with us a little bit later on.
Hopefully,
he's just trying to fight his way through the traffic. If we if he can't make it to the show, we'll try and get him on the line because it is a massive, massive local derby coming up. Obviously, the Bradford Bulls winning last weekend, finally getting back to that golden number of zero. We're saying that, the golden number zero. And Halifax are just sitting outside the top five at this point in time. So both teams are extremely desperate. All right, I've got into the show, but we haven't even got off the opening indent yet. So let's get it on.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Mark, Aaron, you didn't see the look I just got off you and just then. I was off.
You're
on
being
one.
Naughty again.
You just looked at me and said, come on, mate. We're still on the opening. What do you call that, Ewan? The opening music. What's it called?
Intro.
Intro. That's it.
You just like to hear your own voice. That's what it is.
You know, I listen back to myself every now and again.
What,
yeah.
You listen to the recording afterwards.
I cringe.
We know,
I
listen to it all the time in the car.
Oh, thank you. Who needs enemies? So I've had a proper first world problem this weekend and this week. If you have a look at this, and I'm just pulling out what can only be described as a burner. So if you're in the MI6 world, MI5, you know, the CIA world, this mobile phone you'd call a burner. It's an Alcatel Pixie. Now, Pixie, that suggests it's tiny, doesn't it?
Special 007 phone, I think.
I mean, it answers calls at the text facility. Anyway, what I'm talking about is I lost my mobile. No, I didn't lose my mobile. I was in Belgium, went out for a few drinks, got up in the morning, and my mobile was in the sink, wet through. I have it in a leather casing. This is it. This is my mobile. I'm not throwing it out yet. I'm just hoping it'll come back to life.
That's gone.
And you know, it is done and dusted. But you don't understand how limbless I've felt this week.
I agree. We're not going to feel sorry for you because we didn't get an invite to come with you. So
no.
why should we feel sorry for you? You earned enough money
weekend,
to buy
too.
A new proper phone.
That's not a proper phone. That's a £25 burner.
Well, get some money out of your pocket and I'm sure you can
upgrade. I've ordered a refurbished phone. My wife wouldn't let me buy a new one. And I've got insurance on this one coming as well.
Okay.
Not only that. So, you know,
anything else you want to admit on the phone?
With iPhones, you can get, they back your phone up, don't they? So everything you've got on it. Well, about 2 months ago, I started getting this notification saying, telling me there's not enough storage space on your free service. Pay for a service. Now, I think apparently it's only about 80p a month.
Yes,
it's really something tiny.
You're auctioning now, ain't you? So
I wouldn't pay it.
No, I don't either. I delete pictures just to make that space available.
Oh, Do you store your stories on your phone?
No.
Do you ever write like that? You're just on there and you know you've got to get a story in at some point, or even structure stories.
I had to do that once, yeah. I was on the train and something happened and I rung up my desk and it was like, we need it. And I'm nowhere near a computer here. So I'm writing a story on my iPhone. It was awful. One of the worst ones ever.
Mark taught me something really cool about iPhones, and that's the record button on your text. So if you push the record button and talk into it, it does it pretty cool.
It does, yeah.
It's nearly spot on, isn't it?
I use it 99% of the time. Sometimes you have to go back and
just do a little bit here and there. But if you could have just dictated everything you wanted to say. Did you not know that service?
No.
I've got so much to teach you, Aaron.
You are.
There's just so much in life I've got to teach you. So, Aaron, what cool things have you been up to this weekend? What rugby did you cover this weekend?
I was at the Bulls on Sunday to watch them get back to zero.
Are you the lucky charm, are you?
Well, no, because I watched them first game of the season when they got hammered at Hull KR. So no, I'm not. But I enjoyed
it. They didn't actually get hammered at Hull KR. The 60 minutes they were in the game, the last 20 minutes got away from them. I've seen the game. I watched it back, yeah.
You're so optimistic, aren't you, Rob?
Well, point's half full, isn't it?
He's very, yeah. But yeah, good. Thought, you know, plenty of reasons to be optimistic for Bradford fans there. Just a shame that they lose Jordan Lilley this week.
That's right.
He's gone back to Leeds for tomorrow night.
Danny Maguire got picked up swearing at a referee, wasn't it?
Or yeah.
He said something naughty.
Yeah.
And he's been suspended for how many games?
Just the one.
Just the one game. Not like Danny.
No.
It's not like Danny. So something that's quite surprising from Danny, but it's actually been a big negative for the Bulls and a big positive for Halifax. He's looking at Mark just smiling over here. He wasn't actually smiling until I said it, but, you know, he was trying to keep a good poker face, but I could see the joy beaming out of his eyes, beaming out of his eyes. Mark.
Yes.
Big game this weekend, but it's a big game for a number of reasons. You guys have been running a competition over the last 3 weeks, trying to encourage the Halifax supporters start sharing their memories, bringing that community feel to it, all working towards this game. This game this Sunday is the 30-year anniversary of when Halifax won the Challenge Cup.
That's right.
Who did you play against in that Challenge Cup?
It was St. Helens.
St. Helens, was it?
Yeah.
St. Helens. Big win for the
history of St. Helens. We were just
talking.
Oh,
terrible! I think I lost six.
At least we did them.
Six Challenge Cup. Was it six Challenge Cup? No, I lost four Challenge Cups to St. Helens and two Super League Grand Finals to St. Helens. St. Helens were the bane of my existence. Terrible, 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 but fantastic team. One of the best teams with some of the best players in the Super League of the modern era, the early modern era, that is. But you guys you've been asking supporters to share some of their memories. How's the competition gone?
Yeah, it's been okay. We've had a good reaction. We've had some really good stories that have come in. It's been lovely reading them. I wasn't there at the time. Still a little boy.
Yeah.
So it's nice to read and get the history, what's come through, and we've had a good response, and I'm glad that we've been able to engage with those supporters of that era.
So leading up to the game, the night before the game, you've got a 30-year celebration dinner.
Yeah, so we've got an 87 reunion dinner, so we've got all the players that's played on the day and support staff.
There'll be some amazing old names there, isn't there?
There is, and
did Rhino Pack play for Halifax back in those days? Carl Harrison?
I won't be able to tell you that.
Because during the late 80s and early 90s, late 80s and early 90s, I'm sure Carl Harrison must have played.
Yeah, Carl Harrison's there.
So he is. He did play. We hope so. We think so. He might have played. But he's at the dinner?
Yes. So it was a sellout. Sold out within a matter of 2 weeks. So we've had a good response to that.
Yeah.
We've got the Challenge Cup for the weekend for the dinner. So we've got a VIP event on the Saturday night. And then Sunday, we've got then the full squad again doing stuff in the stadium, on the pitch. We've got a presentation, some medals, and just trying to get a good family atmosphere with local clubs involved as well.
And that's right. So it's a fantastically big weekend for the community of Halifax, full stop, the town of Halifax, to celebrate, you know, that real golden era and that golden period during the 80s. And it was a phenomenal time for the club of Halifax. But equally, on the same day, you also get to celebrate what is effectively one of the, if not the biggest local derby match in the championship. Championship competition against the Bradford Bulls. So you've personally put out a challenge to the Halifax supporters, because I think over the last couple of years, the Bulls have slightly maybe eclipsed the amount of fans that have gone to those games, or if not been as equal to. And you've put out a challenge to the Halifax fans. Bring your brothers, bring your mothers, bring your friends, bring your cats and dogs. Can you cover cats and dogs in health and safety? Leave their cats and dogs at home. I'm not going to get the club into trouble. But bring everyone along and wear the colours. Make it a blue and white and a red, amber and black.
Correct. And also I'd like to see a lot of the old shirts from the 87 era. It would be nice to see
some of the old replica shirts.
And we have
shirts.
Some competitions going on where there's a couple of season tickets also up for grabs for next year. It should be a good day.
It's going to be a massive day. Don't play it down, Mark. I think it's going to be awesome. The Bulls have everything to play for. Got the win last week. Jeff Tuvey's saying he's confident that this group of players can dig themselves out of their trouble. Well, it's got to start. It started last week. It's got to also roll over to this week. You guys have got absolutely everything to play for.
Certainly have.
You're just outside the top five. You're sitting on the edge of that precipice, but you need to keep the pressure on. Probably a win last weekend against Winton would have done you as well, but I'll hit.
Next subject.
Yeah, I'll hit Richard up about that
because
obviously that's got to be a coach killer, especially when you know there's a few games you look at and you think they've got to be bankers. So a massive game coming up. I'm going to pinch this off here just because we like to give stuff away on this show. How about a family pass to this massive game this weekend?
Yeah, no problems.
Well, I've got you on this. Well, you can't say no, can you?
Mike's still on. You've got me.
You can't say no. So we'll be giving away a family pass to the massive local derby match between Halifax and the Bradford Bulls this Sunday down at the Shea, 3 p.m. kickoff.
Yep.
Fun will start way before that. From about 1 o'clock onwards. Loads of fun coming up. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be looking at all the sports' hottest topics as well as hopefully catching up with Richard Marshall, coach of Halifax. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We've got Aaron Bell and Mark Moore in the studio with us right now. I think we've got about 12-15 minutes before Richard Marshall gets here. We're giving away a family pass to the Halifax versus Bradford Bulls game down at the Shea Stadium this coming Sunday. All we need you to do is to leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll pick someone at random, let's say Friday afternoon, which is the usual. Mark, just we were talking about the memories. You guys asked your supporters to share your 1988, is it? 1988?
87.
Oh, sorry, 19.
What were they doing, or did they go to the game, and what their memories were off the game? I'm led to believe on the way out of Halifax, there was a big banner on the bridge saying, please turn the lights out. So we're trying to engage with all those supporters. So we did this competition.
Absolute golden era for the club during that time. So smart marketing there to get them to remember. Yep. Remind themselves and become part of this community intimately. Once again, get down to the stadium this Sunday and support in numbers. The winning. Can I read this?
Of course you can.
So you encourage people to share via social media, email, et cetera, their memories. And the winner was a lady by the name of Sharon Oliver.
Yep.
So her story was, imagine a time before the internet, WhatsApp, Twitter, or Facebook. Can anyone remember? Aaron, you can't remember a time before then, can you?
He's too young.
Yeah, Mark can, sadly. Sadly for us. There were almost no PCs, no iPads, mobile phones were the size of bricks. Mark had one the size of his briefcase. Email was for the few in the know. Imagine being a lifelong fax fan and working in North Carolina, USA. Brit newspapers taking a week to arrive. And what happens? Your team makes it to the Challenge Cup final for the first time in your living memory. You can't afford to fly back to London. What on earth are you going to do? Well, that's exactly what has happened to this lady's husband. Then a 20-something fan of 15 years and maroon for 2 years, thousands of miles away in the land of gridiron American football. By chance, she was in the dentist who happened to be British and was telling her this story. And amazingly, she said that she had a long range radio that they could borrow. So that's how they listened to the match. No TV. They were in their condo with a very crackly signal. It was so exciting. And I was glad we'd mentioned, I managed to experience it, albeit all those thousands of miles away. And next year they're back in the UK, excitedly followed by the 88 packs to Wembley, but they lost then.
They did, yeah.
They won in 87, but lost in 88, but they were gutted that they lost. But what an amazing story.
It is, isn't it?
And isn't that
Had loads like that.
And isn't that the nature, the passion of the sports supporter? You can be anywhere on the planet and it means that much to you.
Yeah.
That you'll sit there early hours of the morning listening to a crackly radio station.
You remember those long wave radios?
You did
your pirate ships on those, didn't you, in them days?
Did you? I don't know. That was before my time, Mark. You remember, you've got 15 years on me as well. You're nearly as old as Richard. Okay, so what are we talking about? Oh, you know, the first hottest topic I wanted to speak about was your article, Aaron, that you wrote about the 12 centrally contracted players. There are actually, the RFL are now working on working with 12 players to centrally contract them. Why don't you give us a background spiel on it?
So it's quite similar to something that you have in cricket, where you get some of your salary paid for by the governing body. This is slightly more watered down than cricket. In cricket, the lion's share of your salary is paid for by the ECB if you're playing for the England team. But
yep,
our national team don't play as many games. So this is part of the plans that were approved in March to try and increase talent retention and stop the player drain to the NRL and rugby union. So they've sought out, or they've identified 12 players who they think could become centrally contracted. What that means is they would get a £25,000 top-up on their wage from the RFL.
Nice.
In return for what they're saying is promotional PR marketing work. So several days a year working with sponsors, going to events and things like that to try boost the promotion of the game. There's some names
out there. To represent your country, you would absolutely do anyway. But you know, to you've got to be in this country to get that money. And I think that's the important thing, isn't it?
And in and around the England squad as well. So you are certainly of that profile and certainly worthy of being centrally contracted.
So the RFL have stated that they are targeting 12 players.
No,
they haven't stated that.
No.
That is as you understand it to be. So that's not an official line, ladies and gentlemen. That's how Aaron understands it to be. And Aaron is a man who's paid to be in the know-ish.
Ish.
Until it's official, it's unofficial.
No, I'm led to believe that they want 12. They want 12.
So will that mean, obviously there's 12 Super League teams, will that mean there will definitely be a player from every single Super League team?
No.
Now that's where it becomes a bit icky. Because if there's more players from one team, doesn't that give some sort of advantage? And if it's coming from the governing body, shouldn't everything be fair?
Yeah, I've got something else hopefully coming up later in the week on this, but there's certainly people who aren't happy that some clubs are maybe going to get two of these. And so there's, £50,000 there straight away of top-up salary
that's come off their salary cap?
Well, it's something that clubs now don't have to watch. So if a club was saying, well, we're going to give you £150,000 a year, we're going
to
break
services.
The bank, and the RFL say, well, we'll provide £25,000 of that. Now, that could be a top-up on top of the 150, or the club could say, well, we're actually going to offer 125, and the other 25 would add up and make, you know, make the round 150, mm-hmm. whichever way it's going to be done. There's some people that are happy about it. I can see the merits of it, but I would think there has to be an element of fairness. Most Super League clubs now as well mm-hmm. have probably got at least one player who you would consider to be potential to be centrally contracted, I would think.
Well, it was voted in as well.
Yeah.
Obviously it's been given the seal of approval by the majority of the clubs.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important element to it. We've just been joined by Richard. Richard, we didn't actually get you a seat. Yeah. We didn't really schedule it into the future. We're just talking about the 12 centrally contracted players. Well, suggested 12 centrally contracted players. And we're talking about how we think it could give advantage over some clubs than other clubs if they've got two players and one club gets none. Because it's ultimately, I think what Aaron's suggesting is £25,000 will come off the salary cap or off that player's wages. So if one club has three, that could be 75. Two players, it's 50. Some clubs won't even get it. What are your thoughts on it? securing, and remember, it's all around securing talent in this country.
You lost me when you said you didn't have a chair for me at the start.
Welcome. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Welcome,
no,
ladies
thanks.
And gentlemen. We need a round of applause. We give it, if you come to the show for the first time, get a round of applause. Lovely to have you here.
Appreciate that. No problem. I'll obviously apologise for running slightly late.
No, thanks for getting there.
We obviously, as a sport, I think, you know, we need to maximise our sport and investment and our players. I'm not sure if funding one or two marquee players is the way forward. Me personally, I'm into development of players, youth grades, reserve grades, having a strong youth and academy structure. Maybe that's a bit old school. I don't know, but that's my philosophy.
Couldn't this suggest, though, if you're saving, say, £50,000 by not spending that money on a marquee player, don't you then have £50,000 to maybe hold on to a couple of those? Because there's always that grey area, isn't there? You've got five young players that are coming to that point where they've got to get a full-time contract, but you've only got space for three. Who do you cut? Because they're going to develop differently over the next 3 to 4 years, and you're not going to get it right all the time. Does this maybe give you an opportunity to secure a little bit more invested if they do, I guess?
Yeah, obviously, if it's centrally funded, I know the RFU do have some centrally funded contracts, and that's obviously gone well. And, you know, we need to probably get our international game in order, and that will probably help. The more players playing the game, the stronger the competition. If we're going to try and compete with the Southern Hemisphere teams, and that's the way we need to go. If the RFL have got the finances to support it, then so be it, and fantastic. Hopefully not at the detriment of the Championship and the clubs outside of the Super League, and in the Heartlands, I think they need to be invested in as well. I will always pin my hat on youth, and the benefits of that.
Yeah.
However, it's a competitive market, and we need to get the best talent. You know, we're not really losing talent to rugby union clubs per se anymore. It's more about keeping our own players in this country. The NRL is a big law at the moment.
Okay. Richard, we're going to be fascinating to listen to you speak, especially about Halifax. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be looking at more of the sports hot topics and finding out what's going on at Halifax. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show right here on Pulse One. Unlike last week, where we have absolutely nobody in the studio with me and Ewan, we've got a Ram studio tonight. We've got Halifax head coach Richard Marshall. We've got the power that is Aaron Bauer, the big pen in rugby league now. And we've also got the Halifax CEO, Mark Moore. So a busy studio tonight. We're giving away a family pass to the game with Halifax and the Bradford Bulls down at the Shea this Sunday afternoon. It's going to be a big local derby match. Both teams have everything to play for. Halifax are trying to get into their top four, while Bradford Bulls are trying to survive. So absolutely brilliant game ahead. They've also got a lot invested from the community side of things. Loads of amateur clubs, young kids coming down, and they're also celebrating the 30 years since they won the Challenge Cup right back in 1987. So a big, big day down at the Shea this coming Sunday. You like what I did there, boys? Big promo, eh? Big shout out. I told you I'd hook it out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Massive weekend ahead for both clubs this weekend. What have we just been talking about? Oh, let's talk about the team, Richard. So back on you. Great opportunity to have you in the show, and thank you for fighting your way through the traffic and the M62. I travel to and from Salford every other day. And I know that can be a dead set nightmare this time of day. So really do appreciate it. How do you think that, for me, your squad started really slow, but then you've hit some really good golden point parts of the season, but a bit of a slip, could you say, on the weekend against Winton?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Swinton are a good team on the day, and they've beat some decent teams at home this year. But we did think we would have had enough to win that game, and we sort of, no disrespect to Swinton, I did think the last 10 minutes we sort of threw it away. We didn't manage the game well enough. But you get what you deserve, don't you, in sport. And Swinton deserved it overall, I thought. But it was an opportunity missed. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing that the teams around us lost, at the time.
Well, it's a bad thing for Bradford because a lot of them are the teams at the bottom of the table.
Does that make that a good thing then?
Not for Halifax, but yeah. It's all it's, good and bad is always just a matter of perspective, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, we can only look after ourselves and concentrate on what we're going to do. We didn't really review it or dwell on the game on Tuesday. We came in and we had a bit of fun and we looked forward to Bradford, which is a massive game, you know, for both clubs. And it's one that the players are looking forward to being involved in. They are really good games. And, you know, obviously, over the Easter period, we played Bradford, and that was a fantastic game at Ulster. Mm-hmm. There was not a lot in that game. No. We just got away at the end. We've got a few injuries at the moment. You know, we're up against it. We've used the dual-registered partnership with Salford over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We may have to dip into that again. Obviously, I know Jordan Lilley, by the sound of it, has gone back to Leeds, so they'll be looking to reshuffle their team as well.
So, this is one of the things that I've always been curious, obviously, as a former player myself, the natural organic progression would suggest that you'd go into being a coach. I was invited along to the networking event at Halifax last Thursday afternoon to have a share some of my ideas and attributes and what I think is about being successful. And I was asked the question why I didn't want to become a coach. Now, one of the things I didn't talk about at the time, and I had my own number of reasons for why I didn't want to become a coach. But one of them is what they call those coach killers. You know, the things like your defensive set will work really hard and get to the fifth tackle and someone will lie on the play the ball too much or be offside, ridiculously offside, or maybe you're chasing the game. What are your pet hates as a coach?
It's interesting, coach killers, yeah. Well, I watched the...
other than board members. Yeah. Mark just put his hand up.
Board members. No,
or the guy right. next to you, the journalists.
Always journalists.
You're in the middle. Yeah.
a couple of interesting things. I watched the Warrington Wigan game and that, you know, potentially the last 3 minutes of that game, that is why you don't coach because, you know, Wigan got the ball and kicked out the kickoff.
This is the Challenge Cup quarterfinal you were talking about.
The drop goal attempt and, you know, and that's... Wigan threw it away, and then Warrington had, and we had a similar experience at the weekend. We were 12-10 up, and they had a goal shot for goal. Atkin, who's been playing really well, just signed for OKR, and it was just off centre, and he missed the goal. So we got a dropout lifeline, missed the goal, and we kicked out on the full off the 22 drop. So then they kicked the goal, which took them to.
I was listening to it on the radio on the way back up, and I was thinking about you, and because obviously we'd only seen each other 3 days earlier, and I was just thinking, what must Richard be thinking right now?
Because you know,
the young halfback that did that, he scored a try earlier on in the game.
Yeah, he did, and then he kicked the goal, and then he dropped a goal as well with a couple of minutes to go. You know, and Steve Tyrer, he was, you know, he's inconsolable at the end of the game. But he's won us the games this season with his goal kicks, and he'll win us even more. You know, and that's one of the, you know, it's the pluses and minuses of rugby league. It didn't go for us on that day. I didn't think we managed the game well enough. I enjoy it. I enjoy the highs. You know, we've won games by last ditch tackles this year, and you know, and we've lost them by the bounce of a ball, and that's sport, and that's why we're all involved in it.
It's too true, and it's heartbreaking, and it's euphoric all at the same time. Frightening and absolutely brilliant all at the same time. So let's have a look at this weekend's match then, a little bit more detail. I was going to talk tactics with Mark, but then he told me not to. But so the tactical brain that you have, what are you thinking about Bradford? Obviously, from my point of view, Bradford haven't performed as well as they potentially could have. And there's a myriad of reasons why. Not a lot of experience in the squad, so when they get into tight positions, et cetera. But there is a lot of talent within the squad. So what are you expecting from the Bulls this weekend?
Oh, they'll be hungry and they'll be full of confidence from the weekend, from the result and the performance. I do admire the way they've gone about this season. They have been up against it and they've shown a lot of resilience, really. And you know, as I said earlier, the youth is where my goals and aims are, and they've certainly promoted the youth at the club. John Bastion does a fantastic job there. I know John real well, and he's really proud of the efforts of them young players in that team. You know, combined with you know Scott Moore and people like that. So I think they've done it the right way. They've had to
they've had to get obviously players in on loan to bolster the squad. I hope they don't find the feet again this weekend, but I'm sure they'll be better for that game last week. Without the points deduction, they've been a different situation. But we, as I said earlier, we've got to respect them, you know, regardless of who's going to be out there. But we usually bounce back really well after a defeat, and it was a really, really tough defeat for us at the weekend. So we've got a resilient bunch to work with, and we'll be looking forward to this. And it will be no holds barred. It will be a fiery derby, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking about as well. Potentially the biggest turnout of the season thus far. And Richard, you know as well as I do what it's like playing in those games that are they're almost like finals.
Well, they're the games that you want to be involved in, and I've been, you know, we've been speaking about that. You know, we've had experience of the middle eights 2 years ago, and we've had experience of the Championship Shield last year. Which experience do we want this year? Well, you know, I'm guessing it's the middle eights. You know, I'm getting in the top four.
I know which one Mark wants.
but players, you know, the finances is obviously is a byproduct of getting in there, and that's fantastic. But we all play the game. You play you want to play in the big games, you know. And in our competition, the Championship, at that top four, it's a tough area to play. And they're the big games. We've had some decent games against Featherstone this year. OKR away was a fantastic game for us. We really performed well in that game and weren't far off winning in that one too. So we can raise our games. We get our best 17 out. We can give it every chance.
Excellent, excellent. I think it's going to be an extremely exciting game this weekend as well. Aaron, what's it like covering those sort of games? What expectations are on your shoulders as a journo?
Well, obviously, you know, you've got more people watching, more people listening, haven't you? But I think, like the players, you just look forward to them weeks in advance. Sometimes players and coaches can say, look, we've just got to take things one week at a time. But it can be hard to you know, look beyond what you've got immediately coming up when you see, oh, we've got a big game coming up on the horizon. I mean, Super League at the minute, you've got some big games, especially in the Championship, the race for this mid-late. I was just going to ask Richard, having been involved in the mid-lates, the structure is up for debate at the end of this year. I remember you guys, you played Salford at home and you pushed them really hard. I think you pushed Wakefield really hard, didn't you, in year one of those mid-lates? As a coach, do you like the mid-lates concept, or would you like to maybe simplify it a bit and go back to straight one up, one down?
Hold right there, because I think this is a brilliant conversation piece, but we've just got to take a quick break here, so we're going to come straight back to that. See, that's why you get paid the big bucks, Aaron.
Time to think about it.
You come in here and you get,
like that,
you get 6 minutes to work out your answer. Okay, like I said, we're taking a break. We'll be back. We're looking at the last segment of the game. We'll look at some of the upcoming games, and we'll also pick up on that question that Aaron just pointed at, Richard just then. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a family pass to the massive derby match between Halifax and the Bradford Bulls. Everything to play for both clubs. All you have to do is contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHB show. Leave your details and we'll pick someone at random come Friday afternoon. We just left off the show there. We've got Aaron Bauer, Richard Marshall, Mark Moore on the show tonight. We just left off. Aaron had asked Richard his thoughts on the Super 8 system. It's currently being discussed, being reviewed. I think that's the right way of talking about it. It's currently being reviewed to see whether or not it is the right model for rugby league and the growth of rugby league from both a television viewing point of view and turning up to the stadium, actually in a stadium point of view. So, Rich, give us your thoughts on the current system and the state of play the way it is right now.
From our point of view, it gave us a chance to play. Improve ourselves against the Super League teams, which ultimately, as we spoke about earlier, is you want to be playing in the biggest games. You know, if you've got a wealthy benefactor as Liad with Derek, there is a potential and avenue to get into Super League. Mm-hmm. You know, finance, money talks at the end of the day. But for the rest of us, you know, Featherstone ourselves and Sheffield in that year and Bradford, and it was great. It was fantastic to be involved in bigger games, you know, Wakefield and St Salford. On Sky Sports as well. Great coverage for us. We probably needed to maximise it a little bit more as a club, and we, you don't really know what you've got until you've not got there. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And it was a privilege playing in that competition. You know, we are off pace of Super League in terms of the off field at the moment. We're trying to work on that really hard. But we believe in. I think the playoff is a good format. You know, whether that's enough for individual clubs, it certainly was for Halifax. But money talks at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. One up, one down. Would that work? Yes, it would. Yeah, no, and that's probably more of the traditional base. And we've done franchising as well. Again, that's a business model scenario which is strong. For jeopardy and interest and engagement for the fans, then the top four's probably been the one for me.
I tell you, well, if you're talking about jeopardy, the million pound last year the dropkick that was heard around the world from Gareth O'Brien. Now, Aaron, obviously you are a journalist, but you also, and you always have been, a fan of rugby league. How does that model work for you?
The eights. Yeah, I like them.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think sometimes in rugby league, there's obviously quite a lot of focus on Super League, but there's also a lot of focus on the expansion teams away from the heartlands. And mm-hmm. I think your Halifax, your Fevs, your Batleys sometimes get overlooked a little bit in the wider scheme of things. So for like them to, I mean, you look this year, Warrington and Catalans are going to be in that ball this year, or it certainly looks that way. And even if they are, you've maybe got Wigan in there. So for clubs like Halifax and Fev, the chance to go to Warrington, go to the south of France, play Catalans, play Chris Hill, Darrell Clark, you know, your Greg Bird, that brings the best out of players, it brings the best out of coaches, I think it brings the best out of everyone. The Super League sides will be on high alert because they know they won't want to get stung by a part-time team. Mm-hmm. I just think it makes for great drama. And at the end of the day, sport's all about drama. Richard just mentioned licensing. That didn't reward what happened on the field enough for me. Mm-hmm. Licensing, it was all about how are you off the field. Well, it's all about on the field at the end of the day for me. And I think teams deserve the right to be able to go up to Super League via what they do on the field, not just off it.
No, actually, having to think about it, if both you and Toulouse go on a run right now and Fev and London fall down, you, in state of play and where the teams are now, you could have two trips to the south of France. It's not bad, isn't it? Sunglasses, Catalans, Toulouse. There you go.
Well, we're in Toulouse next week, which is, you know, let's not look away from Bradford, but that's a massive game for both clubs as well.
Yeah, it is.
It's a tough place to go, Toulouse.
They call those games four-pointers, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and you know, and they probably are in the context of the table at the moment. We're really happy what we've done this year, you know, whether we make the four or not. To get where we are, to be in the picture at this stage of the season is fantastic for us. Great achievement for our small squad. But once, you know, we've got a little bit of a taste of it and we want a little bit more, we're going to have to work really hard, though, to get in the four. We're way the underdogs in terms of the competition at the moment, but we're still you know, chopping at the heels of the clubs above us.
It is exciting. I think both leagues are really quite exciting. Yeah. And just looking at the Super League before we finish off, I just like what Luke Gale says, and actually this is something that we don't actually pick up on enough on when we're reviewing Castleford. We always keep talking about how great an attacking team that they are, but actually, Luke Gale, just picking up on what Luke Gale was saying about how they're focused so much on their defense, because that plays such an important part. Systematically, over the last couple of years, they've been able to put a really good attack together, but defense is what wins your games, isn't it?
I think they've got it right, because what happens is in rugby league is if your attack's really good, you don't have to do as much defending. So then when you are called upon to be strong defensively, you can be, because you're not as
energy
fatigued.
Levels.
Yeah,
yes,
of course,
fatigue,
that's what
yeah.
it is. So you know, and I think Darrell is an astute coach. He's fantastic, and what he's done at Castleford, he's got, you know, sort of low end average Super League players and turned them into stars, and that's down to the coaching and his team and the ethos and culture that is created. They've got a strong defence. They've got one of the best defences, if not the best in the competition as well. You know, so if you look at that, what do you want when you set out at the start of the season to be the top of the league, defence, best offence? Well, they're not far off.
It's quite good, eh? Because you look at you're talking about you as a coach, you like to develop people. And Darrell seems to be a coach who tries to make average players good players great. And that's what I think we've seen from Cass's development over the past 4 years. Interesting one. Zach Hardacre has now joined Cass. A transfer fee of £150,000 has been paid to Leeds. Basically, what's happened is Sale has paid for Zach Hardacre's transfer fee. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, rugby league wins all the way around. Leeds Rhinos get some money. You know, would Castleford have had that sort of money available? And what they get is someone who's got a better strike rate than Denis Solomona has, Greg Eden.
Well, you talk about defence as well and why they have got the best defence in Super League. I think he's, you know, fullbacks obviously get a lot of plaudits for what they do in attack, but defensively, I mean, he very rarely makes mistakes. He's very well-rounded as a fullback. He was the best player in the comp 2 years ago. I think he's near that level again. I really enjoy watching him. I just think he's so intelligent, so smart. And in the current climate and the current market, I think £150,000, what they've paid for him, is probably a bit of a snip, especially given, as you say, they just got 200 last week. But Leeds were asking for 300 a year ago.
Were they?
So they've snipped that in half. I think they've got a great deal. They've got a great player and probably England's number one for me.
Zach Hardacre, Richard, do you think he needed a year down under, a little bit of time away from the Super League, just to maybe mature a little bit? Because there was a lot of controversy surrounding him during his couple of years at Leeds Rhinos.
Yeah, he's always been a fantastic player. I remember Warrington, when I was assistant coach at Warrington, he came to Warrington and, you know, every man and his dog was trying to sign him, and certainly Warrington were as well, and he pitched for Leeds. That was from Featherstone. But again, you know, in that regard, that Featherstone have developed a player there and he's gone on to play international and, you know, and coveted one of the best fullbacks in the game, really. You know, certainly in our competition. But again, that's testament. That's not just about Zach. That's about the team and the people that are around him and his players. But yeah, going back to your point, yes, a year out of a game in the NRL, seeing what's on the other side doesn't do anybody any harm. Let's look at John and Turner and people like that as well.
Did you think also, because he didn't have it all his own way when he went down to Penrith, he had to really scrap and fight, whereas he could have probably walked into any Super League team here, definitely onto a wing at least, but he had to scrap and fight for every opportunity that he got with Penrith.
Yeah.
Do you think that humbled him also?
Yeah, I should imagine so. Yeah, yeah, and being out of your comfort zone, that affects people in different ways. I would like it, you know, Mike Cooper's probably a good example of somebody who's done his term in the NRL. I think I read somewhere that he only missed 3 or 4 games in 3 seasons. Well, that's fantastic for a British forward. We know we've got James Graham and Adrian Morley have gone over there and I've got legendary status now, but someone like Mike Cooper's done really well.
I think it developed his game. He took his game to another level when he came back.
Without a doubt. You know, it's rugged. It's a tough competition.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's the toughest competition in the world.
Look, we've only got about 45 seconds left, but we just want to have a quick look at some of the games coming up because there's some crackers. Leeds Rhinos versus St Helens. One word, who's going to win that game?
I go for Leeds.
Yeah,
Leeds?
I'd say Leeds, yeah.
It's at the Rhinos. Castleford versus Hull FC at Cass on Friday night.
Yeah, Cass's pitch seems to give them a little bit of an advantage. I know Hull have got the number over them, but I'll go for Cass.
Dependent on the weather.
Depending on the weather. Wakefield versus Warrington at Wakey.
I think I fancy Warrington.
And
draw.
The Giants are flying at the moment, so Giants versus Salford, but it's at Salford. Quickly.
Yeah, draw.
Draw. Salford.
Okay, massive game down at the Shea this weekend. Bulls versus Halifax, 3 o'clock kickoff. Thank you, boys, for being on the show tonight. And that's us. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.